Hi, this is Nick Weiger.
And this is Heather Ann Campbell.
And we love video games.
We love them so much.
So why have we decided to punish ourselves by playing the worst and weirdest games ever made?
To answer this fundamental question,
how did this get played?
If you ever experienced the agony and disappointment of playing a terrible video game, this is the podcast you've been waiting for.
We've ruined games for ourselves. How Did This Get Played is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's show is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. Why do I love Squarespace? Because they make your great ideas into a reality, right? They are easy to build websites that are designed by professional people to make your shit look hot. That's right. Look good. If Paris Hilton saw it and it was like 4 years ago, she's like, that's hot. That's how up to date I am with current pop culture references. I remember things that Paris Hilton said many years ago. Anyway, Squarespace is more up to date with me because they have a beautiful templates, beautiful designs, help you sell something. They have a great e-commerce thing that all works together. You can keep track of who's visiting, how to make your website better. I've designed 3 websites on this thing. And I love them all. Head on over to hdtgminfo.com. See what we did over there. Head on over to paulshear.com. Check out what we're going on over there. People, unspooledpod.com. We got it. 3 different websites. See what we can do and see what you can do next. And if you get stuck designing your own website, Squarespace has 24/7 award-winning support to get you there. So head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use your offer code bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Hey, everybody. Every week, we love telling you how movies get made. But guess what? Starting July 7th, CNN is getting into the action with their brand new CNN original series, The Movies. And every week, this show is going to give brand new insights into some of our favorite stories, like how did Alien actually get made? This is the question when we first started the podcast, everyone wanted to know, but are you really going to tell us? No, we're going to make jokes. You got to watch CNN to find out the real info. And you know what? This is a damn good program. How do I know it's a damn good program? Because I'm in it. Yes, I am in this show. I didn't even realize they were advertising here. I am in CNN, The Movies. Watch me chatting up about how movies got made. It was actually a super fun experience, and they're talking about movies that I think you will love. Watch a series starting on CNN, starting July 7th, when the movies premieres at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's CNN, the show is The Movies, and it premieres July 7th at 9 p.m. And now here's the show.
A little prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept things I don't understand, the courage to finish this almost 2-hour film, and the wisdom to ask, how did this get made? We saw Serenity, so you know what that means.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
Now it's time for
How Did This Get Made?
At the Moody Theater at Austin City Limits, we cannot be more excited to bring your hometown hero, Matthew McConaughey. To you in a way that you've probably never have seen him. Wow, wow, wow. This movie. Serenity is kind of like Moby Dick with Sims. If you've not seen it, it's about a man named Harper Dill who is... Great, you guys remember it. I did not. It's a man on a boat called Serenity chasing a fish called Justice. And then shit gets weird. And then shit gets really weird. We're going to talk about it all. The big twist that comes way too early. But we'll break it down, and I'm going to break it down with my 2 co-hosts. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Manzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, Austin? Yeah, we have a floor. We've got a mezzanine. And then we've got you motherfuckers in the balcony. Yeah, that's right.
One of the best balconies we have ever had.
Oh, yeah. And we left weapons in the balcony.
They will fight their ways down to the orchestra.
We're doing reverse the raid. It starts from the top and gets all the way to the bottom.
Jason.
Paul?
First thoughts on Serenity?
Oh, I'll not lie. I did not care for this. I knew there was a twist coming. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. And then I was like a couple minutes into it when that skinny guy in the glasses came up and I was like, I think I see what's happening here. I was like, Jumanji did this better. Oh, Jumanji!
Oh, Jumanji. If only this were more Jumanji. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason's not my only co-host. I have another co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Very well. June.
Yes.
First thought on the film.
Okay. I know I watched this movie on the flight here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, my headset did not work, my earbuds. And so I had to just very quietly try to just have it on. And...
You didn't put the subtitles on.
You were a person on a plane playing the movie through the speakers?
Yes.
I'm not going to lie when I tell you, I hate that person.
I know.
I hate that person.
Then
I'm like,
I had a choice.
Have we lost all decorum?
So
you're just going to listen to an episode of Billions at full volume while we're all here?
Everyone must witness the glory that is Giamatti. June,
but
so
what I was going to say is the sex scene on the boat, I had to watch on a plane with others.
This is a Paul Scheer dilemma. Every time I've seen an intense sex scene, someone is looking over at me on an airplane.
You pay for that.
Well, sure.
You pay for that experience.
Let me just say something, and then obviously we have to bring out our guest. But I did appreciate... I actually did like that sex scene, and I did appreciate McConaughey's flexibility.
We're going to need to get back to that.
No,
we're going to need to
unpack that
scene. I'm just
going to
put that there for now.
Okay. Let's unpack that later, and let's bring out our guest. Our guest, how did this get made all-star? One of our favorite people to have on the show. You know him from shows like The League, The Kroll Show, and, of course, Big Mouth. Please welcome Nick Kroll! Welcome. Welcome, Nick. Nick, have a seat. So, Nick... You know, we assigned you to watch this film.
Yeah.
And...
Didn't need an assigning, saw it opening weekend.
You were the one.
I was the one person.
Just general thoughts, first thoughts out of the gate?
I mean, for me, this is my favorite Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway released in January video game thriller film. That I've seen this year.
Very well said. We are here, like I said, in Austin, and there's a person in the front row with a giant sign that says, "The rules have changed." I appreciate that. I appreciate artwork. All right, so let's
Paul,
get it.
Paul, yeah. That is not artwork. I just want to be very clear. That what that man did was not artwork.
No.
He just wrote words on some oak tag and is holding it up so that we'll notice him and give his life relevance.
Well,
but also for the people at home who can't see that sign, the rules have changed. It looks like an extra in like Die Hard 6 during the apocalypse.
Yes.
Like some guy holding like a crazy person be like, the rules have changed.
And McClane just like runs by him real quick. But then that guy is pausing it all the time. Like, check
you
it out.
I'm
in
loved,
Die Hard 6.
I would have loved if we'd done this show, all of us having fishing rods. And just casting every once in a while out into the audience.
That's how we're going to get the questions from the audience. We're going
to
throw...
I mean, to start with the fishing, I've never thought of fishing as a particularly masculine sport. Of like, oh,
What about Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea?
Moby
Dick. A quintessential tale of man versus nature.
Maybe I'm disconnected from it, but it just seems like that's for the elderly. Like, I don't look at that as...
Well, I will say that when this movie started, I didn't quite understand what I was watching. And in a way that, like, tonally, I was like, is this a horror? Is this a thriller? Is this a cat abduction movie? A gigolo sex film? A tuna-based Moby Dick? Like, what am I watching?
Well, part of the trouble there is there's so much time spent in the beginning of the movie watching that fishing line. And the difference is so minuscule between that line not moving and moving and moving a little bit more. It's insane. There's like two full minutes of screen time just watching a tiny...
And it's like, we're meant to believe that the fish being on...
Justice,
the fish...
Justice the fish.
Is that McConaughey has a personal relationship with it like Ahab does to Moby Dick or whatever. And
but it's just a tuna fish, right?
Yes.
It's not like a special fish. It just seems like a large tuna fish.
My understanding is if he were to catch it, he would just sell it for a lot of money.
Right.
Like all like the other fish he catches and sells? Question mark?
Yeah.
The fish didn't wrong him.
No.
And there was nothing about Justice the tuna fish that, like, there was no history behind this fish.
No, this fish
was
did not,
there?
Yeah, no. There was.
Well,
no,
I mean, I believe.
It wasn't like, oh, nobody here could catch it.
When I was watching the movie also on the plane, blasting loud, like.
Through a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah. And I wrote down like 2 minutes.
Bose
and
headphones?
I was like,
no, thank you. Yeah. Bose speaker.
Yes. I was like, did a tuna fish kill his son?
That's
what it seemed like. That's what it seemed like. It felt like the Jaws or the Moby Dick. Like he seemed to have a vendetta against a fish, but that just made me sad. Because I was
I don't think he had a vendetta. I think he was like, this fish will make me happy. Like, that was the goal. Like, if he gets this,
knowing what we know now about the movie.
Yeah.
Does it make any sense that a young boy would conjure up a tuna fish?
Well, here's
my question. My question is this. Okay, because I was thinking about this from the video game point of view, because I have lately been playing a lot of Red Dead Redemption 2.
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay, calm down,
nerds. I
don't
like where this is going.
Calm down, nerds.
Everybody here works for Rockstar Games. They're very excited.
He mentioned my video game. Shut up. But in the game, I've become obsessed specifically with fishing, with hunting and fishing within the game.
Yeah.
So my thing was, there are special fish you can catch in the game that are like rare. And otherwise, you just catch a normal fish, you cook them up, you eat them. I'm 46.
Yeah. You've revealed too much.
So I was like, did the kid build a game where there was a boss fish that was like the hardest fish to catch and that's what it is?
Well, go ahead.
Well, my video games end with Sega Genesis's Echo the Dolphin. So I see it from the fish's point of view.
And that's the way.
To me, that's whose movie this really is.
It starts on his eye.
It starts on his eye, does it? Yeah, right, because it goes into the boy and then it goes in the fish. But I got lost in that first scene because it's like, oh, he's dead. Or like when they're like, what? He's dead and now he's just hanging out under. And then he goes away. I found it very confusing.
It's a tricky movie because you have, when you know the twist, which by the way.
Should we just break the twist down?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, one thing about this movie is it has a very big twist, and we'll get into it right now. But it's done as if someone saw a movie with a twist, and in the middle of them telling you about the movie, like, oh, fuck it, I'll just tell you what the twist is. they don't wait for the proper moment to reveal it.
No.
It's like the narrator is like, all right, so they're dead. They're dead. oh, wait, you didn't. So, like, they reveal this twist so many times that he is in a video game.
Yeah. That the only real characters in the movie are the son and the Anne Hathaway as the wife and Jason.
Well, she's not real.
In the other room, apparently. She
oh, was. Yes. Okay.
Sorry. And I'm assuming in the other room.
Right. So there's only three real people.
The only three real people are taking place in, are not part of Plymouth Island, like the fishing community, where the other one was my favorite was the radio station that's always telling you where you need to go next. Like, if you're in a video game and you start driving someplace, the radio station will be like, remember, you gotta get to the lighthouse before the ship leaves, blah, 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 blah. Where's the lighthouse?
That literally is how I figured out the twist of the movie. I was like, sounds like a video game, like Grand Theft Auto radio station. I was like, oh. And then I was like, now I'm in.
So the kid, the young boy, who is Matthew McConaughey's biological son. Matthew McConaughey has died in the war. Anne Hathaway, his wife, has remarried. And the boy and Anne Hathaway are being subjected to such horrendous abuse at home that the boy has retreated into building an idyllic video game where he has created a virtual version of his father who is constantly trying to go fishing.
Right, because he has a memory of the one time when he was 3 years old that they fished, not on a boat, but on a dock, not on an island, but on a like kind of mountainous area like lake. So he created something exactly not like that to relive it. And the video game I have problems with, because it's really just a bunch of mini games. It's not really a full game.
See, also, that's interesting. I did not know it was a video game.
What?
I thought. No, let me. Now.
What? Did you know we were watching a movie? What? What do you mean?
Listen, I don't know. From video games. I told Paul when we got married, you may never play video games in front of me. Ever.
That was
she told me.
That was your only vow.
She told me. What did she you
said,
tell me?
You said, you will never play video games in front of me. I do.
It's so masturbatory and gross to see someone play video games. And when Paul and I first started dating, I think you had a chair.
A headset on.
You had a headset. And I saw it, and I said, get that out of my house, and you will never play a video game in front of me.
She said, there is nothing more unattractive than a man playing
a video game. I'm sorry,
And
isn't.
And then Storm.
There's not a fuck, thank you. And by the way, it can, like,
is this
let
why
it
I'm single? No, I'll tell you about 10 reasons you are. Okay.
Let it happen on your own time and on your own dime. I do not want to see it. So I don't know video games.
Wait, you want Paul to go to like pay to play video games in some seedy video game place?
You want me to go to like Diane Lane's house and play my video game?
Don't bring it into my house.
So what I thought, I didn't know it was a video game because I didn't see any of the video game things, all of the accessories. I thought it was like Oregon Trail, like a like a computer game.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you understood it was a game.
Of course.
Oh, okay. It seemed also like, and to June's point,
yes,
it seemed like he was constantly programming the game and not playing the game.
That's
because
why, yeah.
The
all
screens were code. They weren't like, do-do-do-do. Yes. It was this coding. So is the game ever being played, or is he just building the game?
That's the existential question of life. Hey, man, as Matthew McConaughey himself once said, we're either building the game or we're playing it, brother. That's
if you're not building the game or playing the game, you are the game.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, the rapper, the game.
All right, so you just felt like he was, so computer game, that's where you were kind of thinking of it.
Yeah, I thought it was more like that.
The thing that was very difficult for me to understand is why
both of these actors signed on to make this movie.
Yes! I wrote that. I wrote, was this script amazing? Because this is bananas
so
to read.
Crazy.
Or to watch. This is wild. I can see them being sold on, like, it's a classic noir. You're the Sam Spade. She's the femme fatale. She needs your help to bump off the guy and double indemnity,
like Hitchcock,
blah, blah, blah.
It has Hitchcock elements
You know what, Unspooled? We don't need to hear about it.
Yeah, we get it.
We don't need to hear about it.
You watch
it's
good
great.
Really?
Cheer?
Which Hitchcock? Which Hitchcock?
I mean, there's so many. I mean, on the list, there's a handful. Vertigo, one of the films that I think is getting a lot of attention as of late. Moving up the list, if you would.
Have you guys seen that show goes? Moving up the list.
Have you seen that movie Hitch's Cock? And it's just a nude Will Smith.
Do you want us to? We can cut that out. Do you want us to cut that out of the podcast?
No, I want you to double down on it. but I do think, weirdly, in you explaining the plot of the movie just now, it was much more understandable than watching the movie. And it is weird because the twist comes in just like...
An hour and five minutes.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
But
I was like, I cannot believe this reveal is coming at this point in the movie.
Where you still have about an hour left. But here's my question. He developed this video game. And the choices that he's made are interesting. Like, he's made his dad into a whore. Or sex for money.
I was actually glad once I realized that, like, this was the boy's idea of it. Because I was just like, are women paying to give blowjobs? That's just not something I've seen.
Real question, though. Are they? Because this is huge news for me. I need to send invoices.
But
I'm going to need some Venmo addresses.
I was like, oh, that makes sense. This is this young boy's idea of what that might look like.
Because Diane Lane is so kind of blown away by their sex that she's like, oh, he's always great for her, but yet she's paying...
Here's what I was also trying to understand. In the game, is the son programming the game in order to create a facsimile of his father, or is he himself working out his issues about whether or not he's going to kill his father or continue to be distracted by... Because the setup is he's either going to be continue to be distracted by the fishing and just keep playing the game and check out from the world, or he's going to take action and kill his father, right?
Right,
the boy's surrogate is his own father. Then he programs himself to fuck... To fuck Diane Lane and then fuck his own mother? That's part of the game, because at some point he introduces his mother to the game and he's like, gotta fuck her.
But, and I know that, June, you like that sex scene. I want to dig into the moment where he literally puts himself inside her, then immediately jumps out and goes, I win!
Yeah.
I win! Yeah. What? What did you win and what was that? Was that just a part of the game, like a mini game?
Is that
too?
Like an extra life? Did he get like I wish something had come up and been like, bleak? Like, you know, or like the spurt emoji would have been like, blink, you're done. And then like your health gets depleted, but your happiness goes up.
I mean, that was
He also bizarre. Programs his mom to call her step her new husband daddy
yes.
over and over.
Again,
I did not like
every
that one
line
bit.
That Anne Hathaway or Matthew McConaughey speaks in the movie is written by a 12-year-old. That's just true.
Right.
That's
Every
true.
One
That's
of their
correct.
Lines.
By the way, full disclosure, so is this podcast.
And he's right there. Yeah. But where the
Ladies
movie
and gentlemen, Jacob Tremblay.
I just thought it would be funny to say the Hitchcock thing because, you know, Hitch is a character from a movie and he is a cock and Hitchcock.
I would like it if like a single light went up and Tremblay was up there like... Gave us the old gladiator thumbs down.
But here's where the plot gets interesting to me. But then these characters...
I'm amazed it got interesting.
Oh, well, when you dissect it, because then all these characters have become sentient. Yeah. So there, the characters in the game are saying, no, 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 this is a fishing catch-a-cat game. This isn't a killing dude game.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to stop the killing... But are they trying to stop the son?
I think the kid, my assumption would be that the kid is now programming other characters to be the voice of reason against himself, his increasing desire to take, because if you were to look at all of the kid scenes cut together, like what's happening in the background is escalating to a degree that is terrifying, you know? So I think I'm assuming he's programming the game to keep trying to calm himself down, keep going fishing.
But yet he put in the most volatile part of the game, which is his mother and stepfather. So
I mean, I agree with Jason. I think he's on a journey to save his childhood. And he's trying to figure out, like...
You guys are so nice.
And I think he is trying to figure out whether he should kill his own dad, too. The choices he makes that I found fascinating, though, are the choice to make his stepfather super rich, because we find out later on he's not. And
he's just in construction.
Yeah, he works in construction. And
here's my bigger problem. They make him Greek.
Uh-oh.
They make the villain Greek, which I don't care for.
Here we go.
No, thank you. Also,
Jason Clark.
Jason Clark playing a Greek guy? What the fuck? Get him out of here.
But he's got a lot of hair and a big stupid beard.
Fine. All right.
Wait, so go ahead, Jun. You were saying...
No, there's some also wish fulfillment, I think, on the part of the young boy because he makes his own world and family members super rich. I don't think he is from what we've seen in his own home. And they don't look or sound anything like the characters we see in his house. So I did find that sweet about him.
That he wanted to have them, like, have a great life outside of it?
Well, just that he wanted them to be rich.
Okay. Did was
found,
he controlling?
You found hope in his aspirational wealth.
Hope. I was like, that's sweet. I mean, that's what's so crazy about watching this movie in real time is it seems so.
As opposed to what else?
I suppose.
What other kind of time do you watch movies?
I mean, knowing where the twist is, what the twist is.
It's so hard to watch a movie in the past tense.
But looking back on it now, I'm like, were they just playing the part as they thought a 12-year-old would want them to play it?
Oh, wow.
They are certainly playing, and a lot of the other, what is an NPC is a non-playing character,
an RPG,
right, nerds?
Right? Oh.
Yes? Thank you. Oh. So those are the characters who are like the bartender, the bait shop, woman who works at the bait shop, all those people who are frequently appearing to you in video games to be like, oh, hey, I've got an improved gun if you want to buy it. It's just, all you need to do is break my cousin out of jail. And I'm like, fuck you. Fuck your cousin. I'm out of here. I gotta go catch a cougar.
Well,
but all those characters are on a track. They're all saying repetitive
very
dialogue.
Westworld-esque.
Yes. But all those characters, that was like, everybody in those interactions are acting like video game characters, are acting with an right. artificiality.
Here's
that is
new lures.
Yeah.
Here's they're coming in. But they also are sentient because
Well, that's the guy. The guy in the suit then starts to break down and goes and is saying, what's your sign say?
The rules have changed.
The rules have changed. Obviously, it's a game. Now, why is this person able to do... Like, this movie then should be about characters in a video game realizing that, you know, it's the Matrix, basically, for video games.
But
right?
The characters in the game are trying to self-preserve. They're like, no. If he kills him... then that means in real life, the boy's dad dies and then I cease to exist. So I need to keep this boy
fit. I don't think the characters have that motivation.
What?
I don't think the characters have that motivation.
I agree, because the suited
themselves.
Guy at one point says, like, I don't know, however the game goes. He
exactly.
says something very...
They're not...
It's not good enough. One of the things is we're
true.
Struggling with the fact... that we're trying to make sense out of something that they broad-stroked to make a movie, and we're trying to hold them accountable for a good movie, and in fact, they tricked us
yeah.
into watching trash. And we have now made you do it. Eat shit, Austin. You idiots,
I
we
also
tricked
like,
you.
If you think about the boy as the author of this whole thing, boy, does this kid love his dad's ass.
Yes! Yes!
He is making his dad go naked so
oh my
much.
God.
His buns. Wet. His buns are, like, honestly, third build in the movie.
Yeah. And I love Matthew McConaughey. I love his acting. I love his vibe. I like those Lincoln ads. I'm down for the whole thing. For
oh,
real.
Me too.
And
me too.
I mean this. And I think he's got a great
me
body.
Too.
He's got all of it. But I was looking at his buns and I was like, he's got cute little baby buns.
Oh.
They were very cute. But
I want to straight up spoon this dude. I'm on board for these buns, hon. I loved it.
These buns.
I know what you mean, Nick. I've said this before in the podcast. I'm not into buns.
You're not into boys' buns,
I'm
men's
not.
Buns?
June's not a buns fan.
A little
fan.
Bit strange. Like, I don't know many, and maybe the women in the audience feel differently.
You just want to see balls.
That's all I want to see. And I just want to see enough of them.
Just, yes, there is so much McConaughey water-based nudity.
McConaughey is wet, I would say, 80% of this film. Yeah. And as actors...
He's wet when he's in water. He's wet out of water.
Yes.
He's wet in his kitchen. He's wet in the bar.
There's a scene where he's meant to have come in from the rain, and he's now inside, and every take, he must have been like, throw an entire bucket of water at me. Because he is... drenched
amazing.
To the bone.
And it's like literally marking out his amazingly cut body.
It is a wet t-shirt contest in real life, and I'm on board
that
for those.
He is winning. He is winning that wet t-shirt contest.
By the way, give me those great. McConaughey nips.
But also, I like this shot of the freeze frame, this nirvana of McConaughey in the water. You look at his arms, and they just look like a gorgeous challah. Yeah.
A braided bread. Just put an egg wash on those triceps.
Yeah,
come on. By the way,
Jason, you
I want snack
it.
On them then.
Yeah.
I want snack on
you
them
want
because
snack
I am
on those
allergic to eggs.
Yeah.
I did have an issue with Matthew saying, I'm going to go take a shower and then jump yeah. into the ocean because I would say that's a bath.
I agree.
I would argue that's the most honest 12-year-old authorship of something.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I don't want to take a shower.
But I'll jump in the ocean.
I wish my shower could be going swimming.
By the way...
when my dad showers, he goes swimming.
By the way...
and then he looks
at
his...
In the salt water, yeah. So he's not getting clean. This movie
by the way,
place in
I
Florida.
Want to see the scene where he then has to like climb up
yes!
that cliff
yes!
face back up to his trailer.
No, because you know what
naked.
He does? He just what's it called when you like hyper jump to the next location?
Oh, like you
game.
Phase in
like a
Halo.
Fast travel. He fast travels back to his house.
The movie takes place in Florida, which was kind of surprising to me. It's off the coast of Miami, but there's a part in the film, when he's trying to figure out if he's in a video game, he grabs a map, frantically stabs a knife in one side, puts
much time spent on spreading out the map so it wouldn't curl over.
And then the map only has one teeny tiny piece put in, which is the city that he's in, and the rest is blank. He's like, oh. So wait, did this person never look at a map his entire life?
He's a fisherman and has never seen it. By the way, within the context of the movie, there are other maps in the world. We have seen maps already in the world. And so it does not seem like they are just alone in space. And why also...
Here's my question, though. What is his sense of his own history within the video game?
It's only the history that the son has given him. Again, he has no agency. These are not real.
Does the son, though, these are more choices of the son's making of his video game that I don't understand. Does the son think that his mom did start dating this other man while his dad was in Iraq? Because that's the story that Matthew McConaughey...
I'm assuming... How about that line where she was like, you said I was finally old enough.
Oh, I didn't like that at all.
The son wrote that.
Didn't like that line
of dialogue for his mother to say to his own surrogate in the show.
Question for you. Is the son making Jason Clark choke his mom?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul, yeah.
This kid needs help.
Yes. I mean, what else? I mean, he's probably jerking off to it.
That was crazy. And then...
If you fucking assholes think this kid doesn't have a blanket over his head jerking off, you think he's just coding under there, you fucking morons. This kid is J-ing down to this video game.
And also... Did the son give Jason Clark that truly undefinable accent?
Because it's not Greek.
I thought it was the best representation of Greek people on camera ever.
Paul, I'm going to need to talk to you after the show.
Next to TikTok man.
Thank you. TikTok man's real name is Alex Papagiorgidis. Very, very Greek. Very Greek man.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to take a break from this riveting talk about McConaughey and fish and children gaming, but we need to hear a word from our sponsors. And you know what? One of our biggest sponsors is ourselves. How'd This Get Made is going on tour. Are you going to come see us? Head on over to hdtgminfo.com to make sure that you're getting your tickets. We'll see where we're playing. Come out and see us. Sing a song. Get dressed up in costume. Leave us fun stuff on the stage. We will love you for it. And guess what? At every show, we are creating a unique shirt. So you can have a touring shirt based on a joke in the show. Get on it, people. Just go to tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm and you can see the shirt that was made from your show. Now, people, let me tell you about a magical place called Squarespace. This is a place where you can turn your dreams into reality because Squarespace makes it easier than ever to launch your passion project. Whether you're looking to start a new business, whether you want to showcase your work, you want to publish content, sell products or more, Squarespace is the tool for you. They got beautiful templates by world-class designers and the ability to customize just about anything. They got e-commerce functionality that you sell anything online, analytics to help you grow in real time. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box, and there's nothing to patch or upgrade ever. People, here's the deal. You need to get online. You need a presence online. And when you do, you're going to feel better about yourself because we all get that validation from that click. I know that we don't want to, but we do. So make yourself a website, see who's coming, and then cater to the site to them. Make sure you get fans. Build your brand, fam. Okay, head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers, offer code bonkers. If I didn't love them as much as I do, you wouldn't hear an ad about them every single week. We have 3 websites built with them, and I'm going to keep on making them. I'm like Rocky, and Squarespace is my movies. I don't know. I didn't think about that metaphor, but let's keep it going. People, Let me tell you about this. 2 million burglaries are reported, what, every month? No, every year. That's one every 13 seconds. But what's crazy is that only 1 in 5 homes have home security. What? This makes no sense, okay? I think the reason there are so many burglaries is because it's so easy to get in. And I think the reason why people don't have home security is because people think it's too complicated. Well, guess what? What if we took that all away? What if we stopped it from being confusing? What if we stopped it from being expensive? What if we stopped you from signing a contract that made you have to give up a child if you wanted to cancel your contract? Believe me, it is rough out there, okay? Guess what? I'm going to tell you about a security system that doesn't take that much time, it's not a hassle, that is reasonably priced, and not confusing at all. It's called SimpliSafe. Hands down, the best choice for home security. It protects your whole home, every window, room, and door with 24/7 monitoring, just a fraction of the cost of what other people are charging. And they make it easy on you. No contract, no hidden fees, no fine print. Okay, it's around-the-clock monitoring for, guess what? Okay, 25? What, pay 20? No, $15 a month. And it blends right into your home. No wires, no drilling. People, we are past that old security system that your grandma had. This is a new security system. It's going to keep you safe. It's won awards from CNET, New York Times, Wirecutter, which is my personal favorite site. I love you, Wirecutter. I always buy after I look at you. Go to simplisafe.com/bonkers and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go to simplisafe.com/bonkers so they know that our show sent you. And that is important, because that means that they'll advertise on the show again. SimpliSafe.com/bonkers. SimpliSafe.com/bonkers. Now back to the show.
There are a lot of questions in the film. The question that I also have is, like, why do we see Damon Hounsou fully, like, in a nice outfit coming out at the end of the game? Like, I was wondering, is that character...
The church.
It's a church. Oh, he's with
the church. Yeah, I think he's in church. Yeah.
Because leaving his wife.
Okay, because I thought what was happening was they were all getting prepared to die, because when the game matrixes out at the end, like, he's like, I'm, first of all, the boy is computer programming from his prison cell. On the phone with his dad, no computer in sight. They're having a full conversation. He's like, I'm changing the game.
How?
And then the camera spins around Matthew McConaughey. Nothing has changed. Nothing much has changed. And the game is exactly the same, but then the boy is in the dock.
Well, there's also no... It posits a world in which there's continually magic happening, where the boy and the dad are connected within the game. And
yes.
They can hear each other in the
game. Under the water.
And I understand some...
You don't feel connected to your creator?
What's that? Yeah. So basically, the son is God.
That's right.
And yeah, no, it is a deep religious allegory.
But wait, wherein, but then that means...
Wherein Christ fucks God's wife. Come on, Texas, we're going with this. Where Christ builds a scenario, a simulation, where he fucks his own mother. So not God's wife, I guess Mary? The Virgin Mary? Christ takes her virginity? Is that what's happening? Texas, are you on board?
Is...
Ooh, we're getting there. Ooh.
I'm going to stay out of this one.
Well, can you... Yeah. Can anyone take a stab at the ending? So... When the game falls apart and they are reunited, what is actually happening in real life at that moment?
I had a question about this too, because it seems like the boy makes a decision to kill his father. He takes the knife out of the tackle box and then leaves the room. And then the video game goes on. So he's not controlling Matthew McConaughey to kill the dad in that moment. He's left the computer there. So both are acting independently of each other. And I think he just goes in the other room and stabs him in the heart.
Yeah.
No, yes.
By the way, one stab wound, like one shot straight to the heart, and he's donezo.
But then what happens after that?
He gets put in...
Juvenile detention.
Juvenile detention. He's going to be put in the custody of his mom, but in the meantime, he makes a computer call with his brain to his dad in the video game.
In the computer game.
In the computer game, which is still running, not confiscated as evidence in a trial for manslaughter, and then connects with him virtually. So I guess now he's in the game, which he could have been in the game from.
I feel like the game is, I mean, the movie rather is trying to tell us, or trying to give us an emotional payoff, as if McConaughey is this dead father who's crossed over to the other side, as if the movie is set up like a ghost scenario.
Is it purgatory?
It's like, almost. I feel like the movie's trying to play with us in a fraudulent way to suggest that, like, it's ghost, and he's just unable to move on, but he can, if he can connect with his son. But again, he's just a artificial construct that the son has created, but they want us to have an emotional payoff.
And
I
cried,
like, Dad, Dad, and he's like, "Yeah, Patrick, it's me." And I'm like, "What?"
And I cried. I cried at the end. I cried when that boy ran down that dock.
I cried too. I cried too.
I mean, I cried tears of come out my dick.
But it was
you
emotional
didn't cry
moment.
When he was running down the.
And
no!
Matthew, he looks.
I cried.
How
Matthew
is
McConaughey
he there?
Looks so happy he gets his son in the video game.
So he programmed a character of himself to go in the game and run and hug the character that he built to be his father.
And that's but yet what he could have built himself. About it because he was so yearning for that connection.
I thought that the kid. I thought that the kid that brought him good luck would have been him. Because, like, hey, I'm here to help. Quit my job pumping gas in Miami. Okay. But why wouldn't he just put himself in the game?
Also,
the
you know
time?
What? When they opened the big blank map, Miami should have been there. Yep. Everybody's talking about Miami, so you should be able to be like, great, where are they here? Miami, right there.
Miami with all their beautiful mountains.
If a movie like Sixth Sense like has like linear sense to it, like it make if you add it up with the reveal, you can go back and everything makes sense. But like in this movie, they're constantly cheating.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to do that here.
No, they're constantly cheating. They're giving you scenes for characters who are alone without Matthew McConaughey's character. Those characters don't exist without him. You know, they don't have interior lives that we're following.
Yeah, well, this movie's like, if M. Night Shyamalan made Sixth Sense, like, M. Afternoon Shyamalan make this one.
It's so funny you bring up Sixth Sense, which is a great episode of Unspooled. When Bruce Willis in that movie finds out that he is a ghost, he has
spoilers for Sixth Sense.
So
real quick.
Sorry.
Spoilers for, you know what? Let's just run down spoilers. Darth Vader is Luke's father. Han Solo dies in the new Star Wars movies. In The Prestige, Hugh Jackman plays twins. Guys, let's do them all.
The Hulk dies in Avengers Endgame. Anyway, so
Rey is Vader's daughter.
So, but when he finds out, when Bruce Willis finds out, there's this moment where he sees his whole life. It all makes sense. He understands why his wife has been ignoring him, and this panic and shock. And then when this fucking nerdlinger comes over to his house and says, "We're in a video game."
Wow.
He goes.
For what is arguably a room full of nerdlingers, to just hammer this guy. This fucking nerd. You're a bully.
He's like, he's so like aggressively like a nerd. When he wipes his glasses, like
that immediately. Yeah,
that sound effect was crazy.
Yeah, and I have glasses. I wear them. I never. So when this guy tells him the whole reveal, he goes, "Well, what the fuck, man?" Like, no reaction. Not like, "You don't exist. You're a video game." He's like, fuck it. All right, so I'm going to go fishing tomorrow. Like, it never landed with him. And I think, I'm all in on the McConaughey train. I think he's great and everything. And I actually loved watching him do some of that solo acting in the cornfield.
He screams out into the ocean a number of times in this movie.
And he is
chewing. Just loved it.
He is feasting on these
loved
scenes.
It. He is so easy to watch.
Oh, yeah.
He made me feel comfortable. In a lesser actor's hands, this movie would have been hard to watch, but I'm like, I'm in. Like, man. I kind of feel like it's gonna work out. Matthew McConaughey, he's like, it's cool. I'm a video game. We're all video games.
But it really is
whatever,
true.
Let's kill somebody and he's, find our son. I don't care.
He's so compelling to watch. It's so true because he's so compelling to watch that you're watching scenes that if he wasn't as interesting and electric to watch, you would be focused on how this scene does not make sense in continuity of the movie you're watching. But I'm like, I don't care. No, all I want is to watch him yell at this guy and never talk to the old man at the bar and then become the old man at the bar. Why? Don't know.
If that's what's weird. You walk away from this movie not having any idea what happened, but having enjoyed watching him near a body of water, watching him pour himself a drink.
Give me a bottle of rum. I just gave you a bottle of rum. I already drank it. Yes!
Yeah, it's very pleasant.
Give him another bottle of rum. This is exciting.
All I can think about also.
Stop trying to harsh his mellow. Come on.
Let him live.
How many, like, cigarettes he had to smoke in that movie? Oh,
there was a lot of cigarette acting in this movie.
There was a lot.
There was times where there were so many cigarettes on screen. I was like, ooh, this is, like, when Anne Hathaway and him are both, like, smoking cigarettes at each other. I was like, wow, this is, I'm in. Their age difference is pretty shocking. I mean, I guess not for Hollywood, but he's
Whose age difference?
McConaughey and Anne Hathaway.
And Anne Hathaway. She's about 35, 36.
Oh, yeah.
He's about 50.
And they went to high school together.
Yeah.
I wrote down, they went to high school together, question mark, question mark?
Can you imagine McConaughey and Princess Diaries, like the two of them?
I think she thinks they went to high school together, but he's just really Wooderson, and he's just still hanging around.
Also,
well, that's what he does, in fact, like about high school girls.
He's like, I keep getting older. They keep getting younger.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I got one of them pregnant. Uh-oh, I'm going to war. Uh-oh, I'm dead. Now
uh-oh,
I'm a video game.
I'm a video game.
By the way, uh-oh, no,
reboot.
I think, is uh-oh, I'm a video game, a t-shirt? Maybe, I don't know.
I still think the t-shirt might be McConaughey's face on their Nirvana body and just Serenity.
I think that's pretty good.
And with a video with an old NES cartridge instead of a dollar bill in front of him.
That's pretty good.
And so Hitch's cock is not going to be...
Oh, Nick.
People, you want a shoe that's easy to travel with. I know I am constantly on the road, and one of the biggest hangups I have is where do I fucking pack my shoes? My bags are so full, my shoes are so stiff, and guess what? Then I found my new love. Yes, I love my wife. Yes, I love my kids, but guess what? Third in that list, Allbirds. What's Allbirds? Well, they're comfy shoes made from trees. They're the perfect shoe for all your summer travel adventures. I love these shoes because when you put them on, it's like putting your feet in the most comfortable bed. It's like making your toes hang out on a hammock. We're on vacation this summer. Put your feet on vacation. They're so light and they're so easy. You can bring them to the airport. You can slip them on. You can take them off. And they take no room in your luggage. Plus, here's the best part. No logos, simple colors, limited edition colors, and they just look good. They blend in with whatever your outfit you're going to put on. Dressy? Yeah, it works. Hiking? Yeah, it works. Running on the beach to the Rocky soundtrack? You got it. Anyway, these Allbirds are so comfortable, they'll keep you feeling good all the way to your destination. So whether you're upgraded to business or you end up in the middle seat, Allbirds are the shoes that are going to stick with you all the way around. Head to Allbirds.com. Get your own pair. They're reasonably priced. I love them a lot. Allbirds tree runners are your perfect summer travel companion. You're going to love it. 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 And now, back to our show.
Let's go to the audience and see what you have to say about...
Can we get house lights?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we got. All right, so if you have a question about Serenity that you want an answer to, let us know. Raise your hand, and we'll come over to you. All right, here's somebody right here. Sir, I'll kind of reach over to you. All right, what's your name and your question?
I'm David, and my question is, what was up with those pans whenever it revealed, like, Anne Hathaway was her back, and then it panned around to the front?
Yeah, there was a couple of these moments in the film, especially when you meet Anne Hathaway, where the camera does, like, almost a matrixy move, but of no action. It's just of a person walking, like, poof, zoom.
I feel like they're trying to do some sort of, like, video gamey reveal or some... It's supposed to feel, I feel like, not natural. Those, I feel like a lot of that stuff was meant to be telling you you were in a different reality, not real reality.
I
thought they were weird.
It does feel, sorry, before we get to this next question, that it feels like they were writing this movie after they finished shooting that day. They would then be like, what are we going to do tomorrow?
What would it surprise you to find
out? And then
out?
They wrote a scene and they're like, fuck, I think that might work.
Do we still have the boat?
I feel like the movie...
Oh, buddy, all we've got is the boat.
The movie also has a feeling of a video game cutscene that, like, you never watch. It's like, got it, fast forward. Got it. Yeah. And I just want to go back to fishing. I would have liked to see him fish more. Sir, your question.
You fast forward video games?
The cutscene.
There are, like, plot scenes in between.
All right, sorry, hold on one sec. Let me explain. So you know in Oregon Trail when you've bought your salted pork?
Yeah, and you got all your buffaloes. Yeah,
sometimes you finish a mission, right? And you're like, da da da. And then you go back to the boss and you're like, I did that thing you asked. And he's like, great, but bad news. The zombies have attacked the North Quadrant. You get on a helicarrier and get out of here in 5 minutes, soldier.
Boop, and you just kind of flip. Like,
and you fast forward that until.
Oh, like the exposition that gets you on the next.
It basically jumps
into
the next.
But if you stayed with him, the boss would be like, things are crazy at home. That's why I'm acting out here. I just got a Dear John letter from my wife. She's fucking her Pilates instructor. I guess the reason I've become such a mean person is because of the issues I'm having with my wife at home. While I'm out here murdering ravagers, my wife is at home being ravaged by a murderer.
Oh, what a dumb movie.
Sir, your name, your question.
My name's
Here's
Clint.
What I'll say. Just before, on. I'm so sorry. Before, I'm nice. Kumite shirt. I like that. Oh, let's continue.
What? Oh, you want to go? Okay, this is Clint.
Yes. They really emphasize artificial intelligence in this movie. Is it less like a video game than more like a recreation of the dad where the kid is trying to relive a life with him? He's trying to regain his...
Shit, man, I wish you were part of the rewrite on this one.
Smartest question we ever got.
Here's the reality, guys. If your question is related to the movie not making sense, you can put your hands down. We're not going to know. We're not going to crack it.
Yeah,
it's flawed
like,
from the go.
It feels like the audience wants us to have answers.
Yeah. And we do not.
It's not going to happen.
Paul is, I believe, headed towards the mezzanine. So prepare yourselves, mezzanine.
I need to catch my breath. That was a lot of flights. All right, sir, your name, your question.
Jacob. And my question is, can we talk about how racist it was that the maid at the hotel was called Consuela? And apparently she's a real big gossip.
Well, everybody in Plymouth is a gossip. Yes. And there was, like, there's also, like, Jaimin Huntsu, who's in the movie, is, like, the voice of reason black man who's, like, always got to tell him to do the right thing or whatever. There's a lot of, like, putting people into categories that are just very limited in that
But
way.
Let me ask you guys this. What did you think of that Amistad reunion? We haven't seen the two of them together since Amistad. They're back on a boat. They're having a lot of fun.
Was McConaughey in Amistad?
Yeah, he's the main.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
All right,
it's the same boat.
Hi, how are you? Your name and your question.
Hi,
I got the mic.
Okay. my name is Anna, and my question is: do you think it's possible that instead of it being an AI that like developed consciousness, that it's like the spirit or like soul of the dad came into the video game, so then in the end when they hug and stuff it's meaningful and not just like super sad?
Ooh,
Anna.
Oh. Okay, haunted video game. Very cool. Very cool. Okay,
I don't know, Anna, and it's such a good question. I would lean towards no, because there are no souls.
In general, you don't believe that the human spirit has a soul?
I don't believe I do.
Oh.
Fuck, man.
Jason.
Is this why I'm single?
Yeah. Jason, that's a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So you don't think we're all connected in some way after our
connected in some way afterwards?
Yeah.
Afterwards? No, we're donezo. I think once we die straight up, we go in the ground or wherever else, and it is over, baby.
All right, I'm in the
middle. I think it is the great dark sleep.
Why are we clapping for this?
How did this get made? Tackling the big issues. Yeah. Who would have thought Serenity would have gotten us here?
I'm in the
middle. Well done, movie.
Here we go, another question right here. Your name?
Darius.
Question.
All right, question is, so when Jimon Hansu's character, Duke...
I love that you know that.
Yeah, I know a lot of that. Matt McConaughey blames him at the beginning for not catching fish, and he goes, it's because ever since your wife died.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he talks to the chum lady, or the bait lady or whatever, and he's like, she's like, oh, you blamed him. And he's like, no, I didn't blame him. I blame you, because you put a hex on me. And there's like, what the hell is this pro-? So my question is, sorry, that's a buildup. My question is, since Matt McConaughey's character is written...
Matt? Do you know him?
I'm from here, baby.
Matthew.
Like, so familiar.
I'm born and raised, baby. Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. No,
does
my question
everybody
is...
Everybody who lives in Austin
wait,
call him
does
Matt?
Everybody know McConaughey?
What?
Oh, boy.
I bet he's getting a lot of texts right now. Hey, bro, get over to the Moody right now.
If any of you guys know him, tell him, tell his ass to give me my number.
All right, sorry. So question is, since he, the boy created that character, and Matt McConaughey is so angry, character is so angry. So my question is the boy super angry at his dad? So is he just pissed at him for leaving him? Or is this like
a representation? No, I think he's created a character who feels helpless and hopeless to affect change in his life,
or,
much like the boy.
Or does the boy not support the troops?
You think that's what it is? You think he's mad at his dad because his dad died in the war? And he's a fan of dads who don't die in the war? Thus making America great again? Texas? Question mark, question mark? No, I think, you know, I think the boy is letting his own feelings of helplessness bleed into McConaughey's character's helplessness. Mm-hmm.
And
not
think
knowing what to do.
Ultimately, as a child who's processing grief, he feels unlucky.
But he's also sabotaging the dad because he makes the game. Like, why wouldn't he give the dad joy just to catch the fish?
No, I think that's for himself. The game is for himself, not
got
for the
it.
Dad.
Oh, but then the dad becomes sentient.
No. The dad is not sentient.
The dad does not exist.
The dad...
Really?
Let me ask you, McConaughey.
Does the dad eventually exist in an AI realm? By a pause.
What? No.
What? Does the dad never exist in an AI realm?
The dad is all... Matthew McConaughey, top to bottom, T to B, ones and zeros. Those buns are two zeros next to each other.
What's your name and your question?
I'm Leah, and my question is, can you role play what you think that they had to tell these A-list actors to get them to agree to this script?
Well, here's the thing.
Hey.
Here's the thing. My assumption is that it must have been a good script.
Sure.
And I can see being sold on the idea of an old school noir set in a, like with all the tropes of
all
a
right,
noir.
All right.
Yeah, wait, exactly. With all the tropes of a noir story, but modernized with this kind of game show, a video game rather, element, and also a real, like, ooh, and there's going to be a twist. And Stephen Knight is like a legit person who's done
make
other
stuff,
stuff. That is very good. So I can see all the steps along the way why very smart, A-list, talented people would keep going down the line. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think for Anne, they just said, like, the character's going to have blonde hair, and she said, I'll be there. When do we start?
Well, it's also...
She's like, does my character have sex, but only from behind?
Yeah.
By the way, he really grabbed her forcefully. Like, I didn't...
Yes.
That scene doesn't seem like it was leading to sex, but then it was like,
that
yeah!
Thought, I thought that too, but then I was like, oh, maybe the kid only understands sex as a violent act,
yes.
And as a result, every man in the game is violent at sex. Again...
I win!
He's the only point of view. The only point of view referenced in the movie is a 12-year-old boy's point of view.
But then they do it missionary style inside the boat, and you see those sweet cheeks getting all crunched up.
It's also interesting. You see him repeatedly just finish having sex with Diane Lane. Hey, you never see her naked, and you never see them have sex, because the kid, I guess, can't imagine that version of sex.
Or they weren't going to pay Diane Lane enough money to show
That's
her boobs.
It.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, like, even, yeah, but they don't even show, like, sex happening. You know, like,
no, it's still a kid's conception on some level sex.
That's just a little McConaughey getting out of bed. Well, look, there's a lot to unpack here. And we clearly
have... Do we have another 6 hours?
Yeah, I mean,
I would
we
stay
need
here,
it.
I would stay here for 4 more hours.
Well,
wait, what's that? No, we can't.
They do have a show after us tonight. Look, we have opinions about this movie,
Boo.
But there are people out there with
Let
a different...
Let them stay. 4 more hours. 4 more hours.
You guys will have a beer break, and then we'll go back into it again.
You guys did a terrible job chanting.
Well, look, we have an opinion about this film, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Mama just killed your daddy. Put a K-bar in his chest. Went to jail, you know the rest. Goodbye, everybody. I've got to code. Gotta see my dis dad sweet behind and swim in the nude. Mama, dad set the hook, but justice will be mine. I wish there were more than 5 stars to give.
Give it up for Cody. Amazing, Cody. That was amazing. Now, if I was Cody, I would have said to the person after him, you go ahead. But I believe in you. It is now time for second opinions.
This movie was horrid. Don't know what the hell I just watched. Let's head on off to Amazon to see what other people thought. June, John, and Jason read second opinions. June, John, and Jason read second opinions.
John? Give it up for Dana, who thought my name was John. June, John, and Jason, the host of How Did This Get Made. That's a shirt.
I think I see what's happening. That's the shirt. June, John, and Jason. She might have been mistaken for June and I's other podcast.
Yeah.
Oh.
June, John, and Jason, which we do with the film critic.
You do with John Ratzenberger from Cheers.
From Cheers. That's the t-shirt, June, John, and Jason. We should decide who John is the you.
Like John Lennon. all right, well, here we are. 5-star reviews from Amazon. Let's get into it.
Oh, I love that.
I want to leave that one in just because
it's
crazy.
It's wild.
Was it a...
And repeated it so many times. It wasn't a slip of the tongue.
Here's the thing. It's easier to say John in that structure.
Yes.
June, John, and Jason, right? Rather than June, Paul. And like that hard P stops you from continuing forward.
I mean,
so I understand for song reasons why she changed it.
There's no world in which you just let go of Paul from here on out.
Or you guys become Poon, Paul, and Payson.
By the way, I will happily go by the name Payson from now on.
I like Payson.
Pacey, Pacey for short, just like Josh Jackson on Dawson's Creek. Pacey!
There are 132 reviews. 26% are 5-star reviews. This first one is from D. Snoke. And the title is Spoiler Alert, This Review Explains the Plot for Those Who Couldn't Get It. I will say a majority of these reviews are like, if you didn't get it. And when I say that is, how could you not? What is vague about this movie? There is not, they hammer the twist for an hour. They're like, do you get it now? How about now? How about when I say it? How about when I say it? How about when someone else from TV says it?
M. Afternoon Shyamalan.
M. Afternoon Shyamalan.
That's a solid joke.
That's another. So this review ends with this line. So fascinating. Too bad so many people couldn't follow it. It will be discussed in philosophy classes for years to come. 5 motherfucking stars.
Can I ask you a question? What if he's right? What if we are not getting it, and this guy, in 50 years, this movie is helping explain things?
Just like if someone's writing like their senior thesis, and it's like, as Mandzukas spoke of the soul and the lack thereof, as was Knight discussing inside.
This is like, yeah, this is like the text that supports the document.
Yes.
This is the Midrash to understand the Talmud of this movie.
And then the challah bread arms, it all brings it together.
This is a very Jewish movie.
Came
out on Tisha B'Av.
This is from Jero. Jero.
Dreams of Sushi.
Writes this. This is a sci-fi film, period. Unless you acknowledge this truth halfway through the film, you will be dumbfounded and quite possibly angry. But if you accept this truth, you will realize this film is a very meta film about a character trapped in a world created by a tormented boy living in abuse where nothing makes sense. All in all, I ended the film with some tears. Satisfied, poignant tears.
And is this review from June Rayfield? or Paul Scheer?
Yeah. And the wowed factor after watching an amazing Black Mirror episode. Wouldn't it be amazing for people to reconnect or stay connected virtually even after one person has passed? 5 stars.
It's fair.
Going down here to Ms. Blonde. Ms. Blonde writes, I like how this movie was released in January, a bitterly cold time of year for many locations. Because what this movie is a bitterly cold, hard look at several social issues. Here are the top 5. 1.
Yo, this review has a top 5 list? I love it.
Death caused by the war in Iraq. 2. Loss and isolation. 3. Evil step-parents. 4. Artificial intelligence. 5. Redemption. Meeting lost loved ones, even if only in the spiritual level and or afterlife. Not much else to say. If you like formulaic, cut-and-dried, good versus bad guy movies, then stick to formulaic, good versus bad guy movies, as many may not suit one's taste. This is a very unique and visually arresting film. 5 stars. And the title, Not a Picnic in the Park and Popcorn Movie.
Do you have more, Paul, or is there...
I have one more, okay. Which is from Jimmy Can-Do. And Jimmy Can-Do writes, I really like this film. There's jumping back and forth between past, present, and dreams. Even so, you have to kind of bring your imagination to this one. It's a movie. Sometimes you got to do that. And this is one of them. Mr. McConaughey, this is another great job of acting and being in character. If you're a fan of McConaughey, watch it for sure. And I encourage others to give it a shot as well. Keep your mind open. Get some popcorn. Which is against Ms. Blonde, who says it's not a popcorn movie. This is why philosophy classes will be studying this film forever. So those are some 5-star reviews.
Here's the thing I feel about this movie is we're meant to buy into McConaughey as the lead of this movie and the emotional journey that he appears to be on, right?
Yes.
And what we are forgetting is that, or what I think they don't want us to really, really look at too hard, is that it is a very sad story of a child who is suffering abuse and is trapped in an abusive household, getting pushed to the point where he has no other option but to become a murderer. And that the movie ends with him embracing the reality that he has to transgress a moral, that he has to, if you believe in a soul, place a black mark on his soul by taking a life to get out from under this chaotic scenario. But we treat it as though it is this heartfelt story for McConaughey's character, and instead it is a tragedy for the child. Am I wrong?
I thought it... And Jason, that's really well said, but I just thought it was a movie about fishing. And if you didn't get it, then... Okay. The movie... The tagline. Does anyone want to take a shot at the tagline? They're pretty hard to guess. This is what they are. I'll just read them. On Plymouth Island... No one ever dies unless you break the rules.
Oh, now, see, that's interesting. Had I known that,
yeah,
I would have gone into the movie with a different expectation of what it might be.
I agree. Here's the other tagline. There's a place you can escape your past as long as you follow the rules.
But someone does die in Plymouth Island.
And also...
Who was following the rules.
Yeah, he did follow the rules. Yeah.
What are the rules? There was never an explainer scene that explained what the rules of Plymouth Island are.
It wasn't like, this is how you take off your shirt.
Yeah.
This is how you have sex with Diane Lane. No.
Yeah.
And then the final one is, truth lies beneath the surface, which doesn't make any sense in the context of this movie. I mean, like, truth is the way you see it.
Is that why he keeps going underwater to find the truth?
I guess.
He's like, it's down here somewhere.
Budget was $25 million.
Zoinks.
Opening weekend was $4.4 million.
Oof.
The movie came out this year, 2019. It came in 100...
This movie came out four months ago. Four months. This is the most recent Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway... No, Anne Hathaway was in The Hustle. But the most recent Matthew McConaughey movie.
This movie...
I thought this movie came out in 1997.
This movie came out four months ago.
This movie came out January 25th, 2019. The movie came in... It's right now 135th of all the movies of the last 365 days.
I'm shooketh. I'm shaken inside myself.
The top movies of the last 365 days are Avengers Endgame, Incredibles 2, Captain Marvel. It was beaten by films that we've done on this podcast, The Meg and Skyscraper. So there you have it. Final thoughts. Jason, would you recommend this movie?
Hell yeah. I'll be honest. Like, don't over... I will say that the things that I didn't enjoy about the movie were trying to make it make sense. And I think if you have listened to this and are like, oh, I'll watch it, just like let yourself be taken on the ride, because McConaughey is chewing the scenery to a degree that is true delight. This is fun.
He's doing I feel like other actors can go down this highway, and it makes it still
enjoyable.
He's
very compelling, and I think Anne Hathaway against him is good, but I think really it's
Jason
not...
Jason Clark,
it's not bad. This is not a, oof, I didn't like this. I didn't like it because it was unsuccessful. I mean, I didn't like it was unsuccessful, but I liked it. I liked it as something to... I would say watch it. Absolutely watch it. Until especially the reveal, at which point, if you're like, no, thanks.
Well, that's when the movie gets cooking. June, would you recommend the movie?
I agree. I think it is something to watch. I think that there are...
High praise.
I think it's nice to feast one's eyes upon scenes in this movie.
Yeah.
If you're trying to connect them all and draw a compelling narrative, that's not going to happen.
I will say, I don't like what it says about Greeks. I want to be on record. I don't like what it says about Greeks.
You and your construction buddies, you know...
I do think, though, you know, watching McConaughey so sun-kissed, so wet, with such a drawl, it's really compelling, and that's pretty much the most of the movie. So,
yeah. Hot,
that's something
wet
to see.
Buns.
Nick,
The balcony's getting rowdy.
I
The balcony is like horny for this movie.
All of them shirtless up there.
But really? I'm going to the balcony next time.
I watched this whole movie, and I enjoyed it. I feel like I have to say, like, with the amount of fishing, there was a little too much tuna in it for me.
Boo!
And it was, and who knows? Maybe it was a big mouth tuna. I'm not sure, but I think that these are all plugs. And
he never catches the fish.
I know, man. That's justice.
Wow.
So I guess the message is justice came for the father.
Yeah. But I think it's also...
Is the kid the
fish? I do think it is. That is the truth. But if you... You know, McConaughey's mantra is just keep living.
Yep.
And, you know, that's what his son did for him in this movie.
Yeah.
Because he's dead as shit. And he just keeps living, you know, like in that video game with his son. And I think that's a beautiful thing we can all carry with us, whether we've lost someone, that we carry them with us. Throughout our lives, and we make simulated video games where we have them fuck our moms.
If anything, that is the soul. The soul is the piece of you that lives on
in
the
memories. So you agree with that?
The piece of you that lives on in the memories of other people.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's what Keanu says.
That's what Keanu says. Yeah.
As I would say, I would take my biggest takeaway from this movie is what one of the pieces of trivia was on Amazon when I was watching it. Which is one of many films, presumably, to take place on a boat in 2019. And I thought that was a great piece of trivia about this movie. That
presumably.
Presumably. It could not be definitive as 2019 has not yet ended. But presumably, this is going to be one of the many boat films.
We got a lot of boat. 2019, a lot of boat-based movies. What is this?
I would also recommend
one fly that just wants to hang out with us here.
I would recommend this movie too. I think, you know, there's this talk always about like the dearth of like new and original ideas, and this is definitely that. And I like a big swing, crazy movie where the actors seemingly are giving a shit, and you meet one, you're like, wow, they're going for it. Then you meet the next one, you're like, wow, she's going for it. And then Jason Clark shows up, and you're like, oh, I didn't realize that we're playing this level of a fucking game.
Oh,
like,
no. If McConaughey's chewing scenery, Jason Clark is consuming everything inside.
Jason Clark, bloodied, bruised, beaten, fishing at the end of the... Give me the fucking rod! Yes! Yes! And yes! Great performances all around. People, just so you know that are listening right now, we are on tour right now. We are going to be performing all over the country. Come out and see us in Charleston, South Carolina, North Carolina. We have shows going on all over the country. Check out the website, hdtgminfo.com, for tickets and everything. Nick, what do you got?
I will also be going on tour this fall and summer, so I'll just check for me. I'll be Big Mouth coming out in October. So.
I love it. Jason, June, this comes out next week.
Next week.
Well, Grace and Frankie's always streaming. It's always just continues to stream. So if you want to watch that. And then on September 3rd, I co-authored a book with Kate Black called Represent: The Women's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. If you'd like to order it now, you can do that on Amazon, but you can also call your independent bookseller and see if you can just get it there.
June, great question I have for you. I've read the book. It's great. Who wrote your cover blurb on that book? Can you say that or no?
No.
Okay. Great.
Very anticlimactic.
It's...
Jason
Clark's character.
Can I ask a question? And if this is too revealing, we can cut it. But is it me?
Well,
can't you say that Anne Hathaway wrote the cover?
Did I write the blurb for the book?
But I never asked you to write to either read a
galley. I sent you a bunch
anything.
Of blurbs.
Yeah, I got
of what
them,
I presumed
Jason.
The book was about.
Listen, we'll talk about it after the podcast. I'm sure.
After the podcast, you always say, Jason, we're done talking. You know the rule, Jason. Unless there are microphones in our hands, don't talk to me.
It's true. Backstage, it's a fucking nightmare, you guys.
Jason, what do you got?
Well, if it's next week, then John Wick 3, Parabellum, still in theaters.
TikTok?
As far as I know, I'm still in it for a brief few minutes, so go and see that if you'd like. And also, on this past week's show, I shouted out the Mannequin Pussy song, Drunk 2, as the song of summer. I am doubling down. That is 100% the song of summer. Mannequin Pussy is the band. Drunk 2 is the song. But the best record of the year, full album, is Big Thief, UFOF. Download that record. I'm just out here plugging my favorite bands.
I will quickly plug that if you like comic books, I have a comic book running right now. It's made by Marvel. It's called Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History. The new issue is just out on stands, taking the lead from Donnie Cates, one of our friends who's out here in the audience tonight, great author and writer of Marvel books. So check that out. A big thanks to our producer, Avril Halley, who finds our movies, pulls these clips. Nate Kiley, who does all of our research. Cody, our producer. Our amazing team here at Austin City Limits. And you, Austin, Texas, thank you for road tripping. Thank you for coming. This means so much to us.
And you guys right are now, the best.
Thank you.
Remember, everybody, today's show was sponsored by Simply Safe. 2 million burglaries reported every year, yet only 1 in 5 homes have home security, maybe because most companies don't make it easy. That's why Simply Safe is my top choice, hands down, to protect you and your home. Simply Safe protects your whole home, every window, room, and door for 24/7 monitoring for a fraction of the cost of what other people are doing. So visit simplysafe.com/bonkers and you will get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You got nothing to lose. Go to simplysafe.com/bonkers so they know our show sent you. That's simplysafe.com/bonkers.
Hi, this is Nick Weiger.
And this is Heather Ann Campbell.
And we love video games.
We love them so much.
So why have we decided to punish ourselves by playing the worst and weirdest games ever made?
To answer this fundamental question,
how did this get played?
Each week, we'll sit down with our funniest friends and play some of the worst video games imaginable.
We're talking the worst of the worst, folks.
Superman 64 and Sonic 06, for example.
If you've ever experienced the pain of playing a terrible video game or have ever played a video game so strange you thought, what even is this? Then this is the podcast you've been waiting for.
You'll hear us talk about playing these bad or weird games so you don't have to.
We always wanted to play video games for a living, but instead, we're doing this. We've ruined games for ourselves on
How Did This Get Played?
How Did This Get Played is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.